Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
You voted against me. You voted against my right to live. You voted against all the women and their rights. I hope you enjoy your cheap gas.
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world.
Griff Jenkins, we don't need any cheap gas. We'll just take a lime scooter, right?
Exactly. Lime scooters, that's the way of the future. You know, let me I was telling this to a colleague of mine, Lucas Tomlinson, a great reporter alongside me. And we were talking about the election. And it just sort of dawned on me, you know, everyone talks about the disconnect between Georgetown cocktail parties and the rest of America. I've lived, Mark, for 31 years in the heart of Georgetown. My wife and I bought a row house, said, we'll get married when we have kids. We're now empty nesters.
Yep.
And I've been to more Georgetown cocktail parties than I can imagine. And the lesson of this election is that the majority of America, the working class, people with great jobs across all racial and gender lines, don't like to be, you know, insulted, crushed, and basically, you know, condescended to, and then accused if they don't vote one way of being racist and misogynist. And the Georgetown cocktail party disdain, I witnessed it at about a 4 or 5 under Clinton, about a 7 or 8. We were getting kind of itchy there in the Obama years, but it has gone now to a full final tap level 11. And
wow.
I witnessed it over the last several months. Hey, people, I've been walking my dog in Georgetown for years, and people like that recognize me, don't know my name, know I work at Fox News, say untoward things. And I just smile and say thank you and give them my normal southern gentleman disposition. But it really is, you know, people act like it's not nothing. It really was you can hear all sorts of important people talk about breaking down what happened and this and that. And there's no doubt that the grocery store and gas station played a big role. But at the end of the day, I think just the majority of our center-right country said, I've had enough. No, stop. You know, I'm not going to take it. You're not going to call me a Nazi if I don't vote for you when my life, 3 feet in front of me, isn't adding up.
Wow. I can't believe that. I mean, don't you go spinning with Doug Emhoff? Didn't you tell me that?
Listen, exactly. I live in the belly of the beast. I've been in Soul Cycle with Doug Emhoff. But what I cannot for the life of me understand, Mark, is that somehow, and I'm nothing special, but somehow, maybe because I'm in the media, I can still see the realities of, you know, the rest of the country and spend time outside of it. And you know, this was just a campaign, the Harris campaign, that just failed to just acknowledge who the voters are in this country. And I think, you know, one of the things that I think, and I don't really know, Bill Himmer was just in the last hour talking about how it looks like Trump raised his numbers by 10 points in 18 to 29-year-olds to the young voters. But there's an undeniable sign here that, to some degree, young people, of which I have two daughters in that group, that are rejecting woke politics. I don't know how long God's going to let me grace this green earth, but I do hope I live long enough to visit the Smithsonian someday and see the woke politics exhibit in the American History Museum. So I can look at it and chuckle and smile and grin and think, man, what a dumb thing that was.
What a failure.
They went so far left. Hey, Griff, weren't you on like the riot beat, basically, in case there was any unrest in D.C. following the election? Nothing happened there, right?
I was on the riot front, and there was like 50 people that turned out, and the channel was like, so what do you got? What do you got? It's like really small, and like, but is it, you know, what are they saying? And I literally played a little clip. At one point, they were chanting, no Harris, no Trump, no genocide vote. I'm like, I'm not sure how I report this because they hate both of the candidates.
Yes. Were they chanting death to America?
I didn't have any death to Americas in my group, but my group was small. I think they basically just, you know, were looking. I mean, some people go to election watch parties. Some people stay home. Some people just go to the bars. And some people just go out and hold up, pro-Hamas posters and dress up in keffiyehs. Listen, I will say this, though. I'm on sort of, I've been doing protests going all the way back to the early 2000s when it started under the Bush years, the anti-Iraq war. And I know a lot of these same organizers that are still there today. And truth be told, I think they make money off of these huge rallies that happen. But they're still out there, and I've been tracking them and following them. And, you know, there is a definite, they're gearing up. There's a lot of fight the coming fascism messaging going on.
Sure.
I think they're a little shell-shocked, you know, at the results. But while you're seeing these humorous meltdowns on TikTok of these people, the anti-Trump fight fascism crowd is going to form again. And I don't know if you remember in 2016 when Brett and Martha were covering, anchoring the inauguration and Trump was sworn in, and then he and Melania went to lunch and Brett was like, and now Melania in her beautiful dress, well, they'll go have a nice lunch. Let's go out to the streets while we've got a break here and see. I think Griff's got some protesters, and they get to me and I'm like, oh my God, and things are blowing up and cars are on fire. I mean, I think there's a chance we see that. We're going to get our first test. I just 30 minutes ago made our assignment desk aware. The Women's March group, remember, they're one of the big organizing. They have they just announced like an hour ago a call for a protest on Saturday, this Saturday here in Washington in Columbus Circle at noon. I don't know how many people will turn out, but it might be something to watch, which is a shameless plug for the Griff Jenkins Fox News Live Hour. Saturday at noon. So I hope I don't have live pictures of chaos in Washington, but there's always a chance I do.
Well, they had riots. I don't know if you call it a riot, but they were, you know, causing issues in Chicago last night.
Yeah, this is true.
I saw Chicago. Yeah, Chicago, Philadelphia. And look, you know, hey, it's First Amendment's a great thing. So let's keep it peaceful and get your, you know, First Amendment on, and hopefully nothing bad will happen. My sense is, though, and my experience in these things is, and eventually the bad apples turn out. And I think, you know, it's going to be really fascinating to see. You're going to have protesters in the street, but the Democrats in Washington have a real soul-searching choice here, because one of the other takeaways that former Clinton advisor Mark Penn was sort of writing his lessons of the election, and one of them that he put at the top was that, you know, they learned that he writes, demonizing opponents and using lawfare to try and jail your opponents will backfire. That's true. Listen, there's no chance it happens, but what a thing it would be in an hour and 15 minutes if Joe Biden, the first thing he says from the White House today is that he's going to pardon Donald Trump of all of these federal cases and end this because we've got to move forward. That would literally spike a touchdown for Democrats. Unfortunately, I don't think that's what's coming, but it would go a long way in people in the center to the center right of this country would say, you know what, good for him. Okay, that's where I want to go.
Yeah.
Because people are sick of the bitter partisanship, and the furthest extension of it was the lawfare of the last several years we've watched.
It'll be must watch TV or radio this morning at 10 a.m. We're going to carry that, Carl, aren't we? When the president goes live this morning, we'll be carrying it here as well. Griff, we're out of time, my friend. Thank you.
Hey, listen, I'll see you guys. Have a great weekend.
Yes, sir. Talk to you again soon. And wow, if Biden says that, drinks are on me. I can't imagine him doing that. He's more likely to announce the pardon for Hunter.
Oh, yeah. He's absolutely going to do that before he leaves office. No doubt.
He will.
Get more at 971talk.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.